بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. وعن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لقنوا موتاكم لا إله إلا الله. رواه مسلم. This hadith, some time back we began the discussion. This Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has brought this hadith under the chapter تلقين المحتضر لا إله إلا الله. تلقين, that is simplest translation of that would be reciting loudly or encouraging. محتضر, the one who is in the last stages of life, the kalima لا إله إلا الله. As we mentioned, this is a very very difficult juncture, the separation of the ruh or the soul from the body. The goal and objective of shaitan is for a person to die on kufr. This is the ideal objective. Because obviously if a person has to die on kufr, that is eternal damnation, he will never gain the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person who lived his life on iman doesn't mean that shaitan will leave this person. In fact, the efforts of shaitan at the time of maut increase exponentially. We mentioned previously some incidents which Allama Qurtubi rahimahullah in his kitab has mentioned of the trials that even the pious Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah, very famous, it's mentioned about him. It's also mentioned about certain other aslaf, the test or the trial that occurred right in the last stages of their lives, where shaitan made a last gasp attempt to try to deviate them. So this hadith, on the one hand, we find that if you look at other ahadith, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, particularly at the time of maut, he acknowledged the difficulty that the ummah will face. And he taught us certain du'as, for example, أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ أَنْ يَتَخَبَّتَنِ الشَّيْطَانُ عِنْدَ الْمَوْتِ, that, O Allah, I seek your protection from this, that shaitan should deviate me عِنْدَ الْمَوْتِ, at the time of maut. Find other ahadith, other du'as, اللَّهُمَّ جَعَلْ خَيْرَ عُمَرِي آخِرًا, O Allah, let the best section of my life be the last. وَخَيْرَ عَمَلِي خَوَاتِيمًا, let my best action be at the time of khatima, at the time of the ending. Obviously, what better action can there be than the recitation of La ilaha illallah. وَخَيْرَ إِيَامِي يَوْمَ أَلْقَاكَ فِي, O Allah, let the best day of my life be the day when I meet you. So on the one hand, we find in ahadith, اِقْرَوْا عَلَى مَوْتَاكُمْ Yasin, that recite upon your deceased Surah Yasin. Also it means فَتَقْرَوْهُ عَلَيْهِ عِنَّ مَوْتِهِ, at the time of death, to recite Surah Yasin فِي بَيْتِهِ وَمَدْفَنِهِ, in the home also, at the time of the burial also. However specific, there is a special fadilat to reciting La ilaha illallah, special virtue and reward, that Allah Ta'ala bless us with this opportunity of reading La ilaha illallah at the time of maut. Obviously, sometimes we have what we call mautul fuja'a, that is a sudden death. For example, a person wasn't expecting to die, maybe walking and suddenly something happens, or he meets up with an accident, and he's not really given an opportunity or a chance to recite kalima. Here also we find Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to seek protection min mautil fuja'a, from a sudden death occurring. So coming back to the subject matter of this hadith, special virtue of reciting La ilaha illallah at the time of death. Secondly, acknowledgement that this is a very trying and a very difficult time. So how does one ensure if one's relative or one's friend or one's associate, or we are present at the time of the death of someone, how do we ensure that such a person gains this great fadilat and reward, is able to recite kalima, and obviously leaves this world with his iman intact? and does not succumb to the great trial that a person is facing at the time of mort and death. For that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala narrates, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَقِّنُوا مَوْتَاكُمْ. Make talqeen of your deceased, La ilaha illallah. Now this talqeen, encouraging the deceased or the one who is about to depart from this world to recite La ilaha illallah, there are various ways in which you can encourage. One is, recite the kalima loudly so that it falls on the ears of the person who is about to pass away, ears of the deceased, thereby encouraging him, reminding him La ilaha illallah, reminding him to recite the kalima. Sometimes there may be this temptation to order the person to read La ilaha illallah. Standing there, the person obviously is in the throes of death. Qul La ilaha illallah. Say La ilaha illallah. This ulama do not encourage us to do. Reason being that the person is in nazar, is in a very difficult state. And in that state, he may lash out. People in great pain, they are not completely possessive of their senses. They don't realize sometimes the ramifications of what their actions are. So you're going to say, Qul la ilaha illallah, say la ilaha illallah, and na'uzu billah. The person says, la, no, not prepared to. Or just get away from here. Or utter some words of rejection of the kalima, which is a possibility. Not that he intended it, but a possibility because of the difficulties that person is experiencing. It doesn't mean that definitely he'll become kafir, na'uzu billah, but this is something that will not have a positive outcome. This is something that we are warned about and encouraged. Allah Ta'ala says, "Udu ila sabili rabbika bil hikmah." When you invite, sometimes you're inviting with the best of intentions, it has a negative outcome. Why? Because you did not employ hikmat and wisdom in what you are doing. So, do it with hikmah, with wisdom. Don't instruct the person to recite kalima. Rather, read the kalima loudly, so that thereby that person is encouraged to recite the kalima. However, there is an exception to this. The exception is when the person is a kafir. Somehow or the other, you have some sort of relationship with a person who is kafir. You were trying to make him Muslim. Sometimes you find this person converted to Islam. His parents were non-Muslim throughout their life. He made every attempt whatsoever. Now that mother or that father or that elderly relative is on the deathbed. Here you're not going to read the kalima loudly because the person is not Muslim, ostensibly. Here, as a last gasp attempt, here you can instruct the person, because if he rejects, he's already kafir anyway. So here you can tell that person, read La ilaha illallah. As we find from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you look at the uncles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, amamun nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alladhi adraku risala, from the uncles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that reached or were exposed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's risala. Abu Abdul Muttalib had 10 sons and he had several daughters. One obviously was the father of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who passed away before his birth. Then there were other uncles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But of the uncles that were alive at the time of him becoming a Nabi, it's mentioned in his seerah that there were four. Two brought Iman. One was obviously Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib, who was obviously, his fazilat was the greatest amongst the uncles. He was the lion of Asadullah, Asadur Rasuli, Sayyidul Shuhada, the Imam and the leader of the Shuhada, Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And the other uncle who brought Iman in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib. Of that, there, like I said, there were four uncles that were alive at the time of the Risalat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Two brought Iman, two died on kufr. One was Abu Lahab, Tabbat Yada Abi Lahab. Surah of the Quran was revealed condemning Abu Lahab. He was also the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the other famous was Abu Talib, whole life service to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In his heart he knew. In his heart, this famous saying of Abu Talib, "Fasta bi amrika lam tusibka sababatun walaqad sadaqta waqad kunta qablu amina walaqad alimtu bi anna deena Muhammad min khayri adyani al-bariyati deena lawla al-malamatu aw hadara wa sabbatin lawajadtani samihan bidhaka mubina." He says, I know in my heart, walaqad alimtu, that the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best of every religion. If you were not fear for the fear of the taunts of the women of Quraysh, that out of the fear of death or senility, I abandoned the religion of my forefathers and I accepted your religion, I would have openly recited your kalima. And the special attempt that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made, particularly at the last stages, it's mentioned in the books of Seerah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters the room of Abu Talib as he is about to depart from this world, surrounded by the Quraysh. They didn't even want to give him space. Abu Jahl, anticipating this last attempt that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make, sat in a place closest to Abu Talib so that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wouldn't have direct access to his uncle. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the room, saw the situation, first he addressed those that were present and he said that kalimatun wahida tudinu biha al-arab wa tu'ti lakum al-ajam al-jizya. There is one kalima. If you will recite it, the whole Arab world will be subjugated to you. And the non-Arab world will pay you taxes. You will become the masters of the whole world if you read this kalima. So Abu Jahl jumped up. Na'am wa abika ashara kalimat. Definitely we are ready. Become the rulers of the whole world. By the oath of your father, tell us 10 kalimas. We're ready. Qul la ilaha illallah. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. They also, أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَاهًا وَحِدًا إِنْ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عُجَابٌ. Are you going to make all the gods into one god? This is a very strange thing you have brought. We are not prepared to recite. So they rejected. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here, لَقِّنُوا مَوْتَاكُمْ. Make talqeen of your deceased, La ilaha illallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here instructed Abu Talib. Such was the extreme, last gasp, hope, anticipation, desire. He said, Ya Am, O my beloved uncle, Qul la ilaha illallah, kalimatan uhajju biha indallahi yawm al-qiyamah. Even if you whisper it, by you declaring la ilaha illallah, I will have some grounds to argue, uhajj. I can debate for you. I can argue for you, indallah, on the day of, in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the day of judgment. So here, talqeen took the form of an instruction. And this is the exception that ulama mentioned. If a person is on kufr, then you're not going to read the kalima loudly in front of him. It doesn't matter if he rejects it. If you instruct, why? Because you are making one last attempt. And sometimes the seed of Islam was there, this person gets the himmat right at the end and recites the kalima, he will die on iman, all his sins will be wiped away, etc. So in this instance, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed Abu Talib, "Qul la ilaha illallah." And as we know, Abu Talib, obviously, kufr was in his taqdeer. He recited. He said that, "Ala mauti Abdul Muttalib, ala dini Abdul Muttalib." I depart on the religion of Abdul Muttalib. Inshallah, we continue.